Today's class is going to be on mikveh and shavuos. Okay? As it's known, it's a minhag of Klal Yisrael. Before any Yom Tov, all the Yom Tovim, there's a mitzvah to go to the mikveh, so there will be taho, so it will be pure, not that we're impure, it will be pure for the Yom Tov itself. Right? On shavuos, there's a special mitzvah of going to the mikveh. Before Alot HaShachar. What's Alot HaShachar? You guys know what Alot HaShachar is? Before the rising of the pillar of dawn, which is when morning is. The rising of the pillar of dawn is much before Nates. It's about 72 minutes on average before Nates. Nates is where the sun first peeps up. So you know there's a rays of sun rise, right? That's called Nates. Nates means like, you know, midnotzetz. It's like, you know, it's like sparkles. You know, brightness comes out, that's what Nates is. It not sets. The sun like comes out. When you just first see, you know, when there's darkness, you first see the sun, so it's like a rays of light that you see. That's Loshen it not sets. Okay, so that's, why do we do that? So the simple understanding is that on Shavuot, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised up Har Sinai on top of us and said, or you receive the Torah, or here will be the place of your death. Now, the raising up of Har Sinai on Klal Yisrael, right? Pashas Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't underneath Har Sinai, it was on the top, right? But the Pashas is, when it was raising Har Sinai on Klal Yisrael, a lot of people learned that this is like a chuppah, which is very interesting, right? Or you marry me, or that's it, right? You know, what happens when someone tells you, or you marry me, or here you're going to be buried, right? That's called a forced wedding. A forced wedding, says Chazal, works. It's just the Chachamim, because he did Shalom Kahogan. He didn't do the right thing. So we do to him Shalom Kahogan. We're okay, the Kiddushin. Yeah, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Pashas really can't be okay, because how can you say Kodesh Baruch Hu did the wrong thing? Right? So the Kiddushin works. Even a forced Kiddushin works. This is a Kiddushin, this is a Chuppah. Right? So now, Klal Yisrael, and I have to understand what it means, we were forced to accept the Torah. Right? You understand this bit? So the concept of forced, Pashas the Maharal, maybe the Ramban, also learns this way. Forced doesn't mean they were forced. There was such a level of clarity that they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saw the entire Merkava, the entire way HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to the world, that it was forced in the sense that it was so clear to them, there's no other choice. Right? If you see a Kodesh Baruch Hu that says, do you want to accept my will? What are you going to say? No. Of course you're going to say yes. It's clear. It's clear. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What? This is the creator of the world. Why am I going to accept his will? So it's forced. In the sense that it's so clear that it's forced on you. There's no like a choice, right? It's like saying, do you want to touch a burning hot fire? No, you don't. Because who wants to burn their hands on, right? It's forced. What do you mean it's forced? It's very clear. That's what I meant by forced. So anyway, so the chuppah, this represents chuppah. So here, Klal Yisrael are getting married. I wear the kala. Wear the kivyoch, or Klal Yisrael the kala, but it's both the male. What's chosen and kala? Chosen, the loshen of chatan, the loshen of chosen, right? Means connect. Kala means loshen of kol, means all, means complete. A chosen is the one who connects, and the kala is the one who completes the chosen. Kivyoch, on Matan Torah, there was a completion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which represents Kivyochel the Chosen, and Klaus to the Jewish people, the Kala. There was a completion of God. We can't really speak like that. But from Kivyochel, the point of view of man, there was some completion that was taking place. That was the Chitul, that was a connection. That's what Chosen means, to connect. The complete connection of the Jewish people to God. How is that a completion? Because the receiving of the Torah means that Torah would be brought down from Har Sinai into this world, and there would be a completion of God's will, in that sense that God's will is now going to be expressed in the world. And that kivyochol is the completion of God's will. God's will as a will is there. But unless it's the people who are taking that will and expressing it in the world, there's something lacking in that will. It's an innate will. It's not a will that is fully expressed in the world. So the Jewish people would like the kala, and that way we're expressing God's will into the world. When did we become that kala? Under the chuppah of Har Sinai. That was the chuppah. Since the chuppah of Har Sinai is at Alot HaShachar, what does a kara do before she goes to the chuppah? Go to the mikveh. So that's what the whole of Klal Yisrael, before Alot HaShachar, before the chuppah, go to the mikveh. What does the kara do before she goes to the mikveh? She gets herself ready. She goes, you know, I've had a daughter. So beforehand, they get ready with the makeup, they get ready with all those sorts of things, right? You get ready, killed, kishut, maybe after the mikveh, but it's, But it's like, they get ready with all their stuff before the chosen, right? By the time they get to the chuppah, by the time they get to, By the time they get to the wedding, they're all dressed up. So, Klal Yisrael, the night before Shavuos, what it's called, they do kishute kala. They adorn, the kala adorns themselves. How do we adorn ourselves? We adorn ourselves by learning Torah. The adorning of ourselves through learning Torah means, just why is the kala, why is it important if the kala just went, with it? As she dresses during the week, she goes into the wedding. Wouldn't you be a little bit surprised? And rightly so. Why would you be surprised if the kala was going to the wedding with a regular skirt, and regular shirt, nothing fancy, not dressed up, no nothing. I mean, that's what happens to the chassid. The chassid puts on a jacket, Shabbos jacket, right? Okay. But that's not surprising. The kala, we expect her to more adorn herself, right? The kala is much spends a lot more time looking nice than the chassan does, right? Why is that important? Why is that important that the kala dresses herself up for the chassan?
Sure, she's prepared.
Sure, she wants. Showing a rotzen. If the chassan sees you want to marry him, does that increase his will, his rotzen to want to marry you? Of course it does. If the connection is a good connection, the chassan is the one who's expressing himself, i.e. God's expressing his Torah, and the Jewish people are the ones who are going to be accepting that Torah and going to bring that Torah, that will into the world, the more we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, the more we're going to be expressive that will, the more complete that will is going to be expressed. If we have, some we want, some we don't, we're not going to be expressing that will. We're not going to nullify ourselves to that will. The more rotzen we have to express that will or to come close to our Creator, the more rotzen is that we're going to be, the more expressing we're going to be of that will. Make sense? So therefore, what do we do the night before Shavuos? We ordain ourselves. We put on kishutim. We beautify ourselves. Why are we beautifying ourselves? Why is it called beautification? Because when a kala beautifies herself, she shows she wants the chasim. So there's a desire for the chasim. That shows a rotzen of mekabel, rotzen that she wants to receive his will. You with me? Now, one second. Now, how is it that we can show this rotzen, we show this desire. We show this desire for his will by learning his will and by showing we're accepting his will. We want to keep it. We desire it. We do that by learning Torah the night of Shavuos. So this minhag of the Ari, the Brit Yosef brings it, the Hasidim and the Sfarim more do that minhag. They read the first three psukim, the last three psukim, to show that they of each parish in the Torah and on Tanakh, to show that they're accepting Kol HaTorah Kulo, because what was given in Har Sinai, Torah Shebichtav. So we're showing that we're accepting Kol HaTorah Kulo. There's also Minhagim, that they read all the mitzvahs, right? And then there's a concept that you learn even a bit of Kabbalah, so they read the Idra Zutra, the Idra Rabba, they eat a little bit of Kabbalah in the end, so showing they're accepting Kol HaTorah Kulo, right? Understand? The literature world tends to just sit and learn it after Gemara. Right? Doesn't make a difference. The main thing is that you show your rotzen, your desire to receive Torah. If you show that rotzen to desire Torah, then you become a fitting kala. That's called kishute kala, right? After you've done that, now you dip in the mikveh. Why? To be tahor, to immerse yourself in mayim tahorim, in pure water, to be purify yourself, to receive that which is pure, which is the Torah itself, which is the essence, which is God's will, which is the closest we can get to God's will. So the purer we are, the more that will can embode itself in us and be part of us, right? But it depends on two things. It depends on our rotzen and our purity. So Kabbalah's Torah depends on our rotzen to be mekabel and our purity in ourselves, right? That's why we had 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, to work on our midas. Now, we're just showing even more our rotzen on the night of Shavuos, and we're entering to our higher level of purity through the mikvah. So I'm going to explain now how mikvah works. We see in Masechet Yuma, the last Mishnah of the 8th Perek, it says as follows. Amar Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy or
faithworthy
are the Jewish people. Lifnei mi atem mitarim, in front of who are you becoming pure? Speak by Yom Kippur. Mi mitar etchem, and mi is mitar you. Who is mitar you? Avichem shebishamayim, God in the heavens is mitar you. Shneema. Vazarakti aleichem, I threw on you, possibly Cheskel, mayim tahorim v'tihartim. I, God, threw on you mayim tahorim, and you became tahor. Va'omen, mikvi Yisrael Hashem. The mikveh of Klal Yisrael is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ma mikveh mitaret etzmeim, just as a mikveh is mitaret etzmeim, af a Kodesh Baruch Hu mitaret et Yisrael. Also, Kodesh Baruch Hu is mitaret Yisrael. So, now we have to understand. How does a mikveh work? The Gemara says, we learn the shield, the measure of a mikveh, right, from it's also Gemara here, Gemara in Sukkah. We learn the shear of a mikveh, that it's kol gufo shel adam nichnas bo, that the whole goof of a person enters in it, right? And Chachon told us that that's arba'im sa'ar, that's 40 sa'ar. So a mikveh is something that your whole goof has to be merged in it. There's another passage that says, v'rachatz et b'saro b'mayim, shelo yedav chotzitz beino lebein ha'mayim. There can't be anything separating between you and the water. It means a mikveh, you have to be completely naked in it, and there can't be anything separating from you and the water. You have to completely immerse yourself. So, the concept of a mikveh is that if you go into water and you completely immerse yourself in it, that's a place where you have no chiyus. That's a place you have no living. You can't live there. You're under the water, you can't live under the water. You need air to live. So there's a nullification of self, and a complete nullification of self. Only when a person goes through a process of a complete nullification of self, that's like that's what death is, a complete nullification of self, right? You're in a place where you can't live. It's a complete nullification of self. That was the concept of Klal Yisrael going to the mikveh, into the midbar. They're going to a place of death and desolation. That was a complete nullification of self. Kibiyahol, they're going to the mikveh. Before you can be mekabel, another tzura, another form, that's the complete nullification of self. That's the concept of tara. Tara means clarity. Clarity can only be if there's nothing of self to distort your clarity. So mikveh is a concept of bringing you to that tara, that level of clarity. There's nothing of self to distort it. So there has to be a nullification of self. There's also a concept of a mikveh called mei. Mi metar etchem. Mi, Chazal explained to us, mi represents, mi is like water, mayim. Mayim is mei, mei gishamim, mei miur. Mi metar etchem. Mayim is metar. Where does mayim come from? The concept of mayim is associated with the mother. When a child in his mother's womb, he's completely embodied as an embryo within the waters of his mother's womb. That's like a mikveh. So the concept of being embodied in the mother's womb is the concept of the mikveh. Because there the child is completely dependent on the mother. He doesn't have any form of himself. All his nourishment, all his growth, all his being comes from the mother. It means it's complete nullification of self. So we see that the concept of mikveh is associated with the concept of the mother. You with me? The mother always represents, we say that a woman represents, a woman has more bina. Bina means understanding. Bina also means It represents the hay, like in the Shem Hashem, the second hay is the hay which represents the hay of Bina, right? Yeah? So now, Mikveh in Atbash is Yud Dalet Vav Hay. Mitzvah in Atbash, you know what Atbash is, you take the Aleph goes to the Taf, the base goes to the Shin, the Gimel goes to the Resh, the Dalet goes to the Kuf, right? The Hay goes to the Tzadik. Mitzvah is Yud Kei Vav Hay, it's God's name. Mikveh is Yud Dalet Vav Hay. So it's missing on the Dalet, right? Dalet always represents a chisar, a lack, right? That's why. And Malchus, there can also be Malchus there. Malchus represents the Dalet. Dalet Va'aniyah, that means nothing of self. The Mikveh is when there's a nullification of self. When a person goes to the Dalet, then he's able to be accepting the Yud. The Yud of which comes from beforehand, which makes that Dalet into a Hay. You understand? The Yud of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the, or the truth is it's a Vav, because when the Yud gets there, it turns into a Vav, it turns into the Vlad, it turns into the child, which is born, which is the Vav Hey afterward, the Vav, the Kei, right? I'm not explaining that so well. But basically, the concept of the Mikveh is to transform the Dalet into a Hey, and that Hey becomes a Hey through taking the Yud that was beforehand. The Chochmah, which is the forehand, the Chochmah is associated with the father. A father is a more rational person, right, than a woman, than the mother. The mother's more emotional, right? So the Yud before the Hay is a representation of the father. When the mother accepts the Yud, the Rotzen of the father, right, the being of the father, the form of the father, then she's mekabel that Hay. The Yud in that Hay becomes, then it becomes an expression of God's name. We've all heard this. Ish ve'isha. How you spell the word ish ve'isha? Ish is a man. Aleph yud shin. Isha is aleph shin hey. If you remove the yud from an ish, you remove the hey from a woman, what do you get? Ish, fire. Without God's name between an ish and an isha, is fire. There's machlokas. There has to have the dwelling of God's name. Right? So the concept of God's name, the yud is associated with the ish, with the man. The hay is associated with the isha, because the ish, the man, is more a concept of chokhmah. That's what chokhmah represents in God's name. The woman is a representation of bina. When the woman is mekabel the man, is mekabel his rotzen, she receives the hay. So that's what it means. Me metar etchem, me, right? Mikveh is metar. Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ashrechem Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who metar you. Because when we nullify ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then we come to a different surah, we get to a different form. We go to the mikveh, to become that form, then we're nullification of the self. We become that dalet, right? Nullification of self. And then, Shavuos is the time that we're mekabel that yud of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that rotzen of Kodesh Baruch Hu, which gives us the yud in us. That yud in us then completes Shem Hashem in the mikveh. You understand? And then we become Yud Kei Vav Kei. We become a representation of His will in the world. The word Yud Kei Vav Kei is a representation of being. It comes from the word of Haya. Haya in Lashon HaKodesh means to be. Yud Kei Vav Kei means, Chazal say, this is Rosh of Chazal. Chazal say, what does Yud Kei Vav Kei mean? Haya, He was in the past. Hoveh, He is in the present. Yiyeh, He will be in the future. The representation of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei means God's being in past, present, and future, i.e. God's expression in the world. So when we receive God's Ratzon through a nullification of ourselves, through the mikveh, and on Shavuos we're receiving that Ratzon, yeah? What happens to us? We become an expression of His name, of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Haya Hoveh Yeh. We represent in our past actions, in our being actions, and in our future actions, His will. That's what the concept of this mikveh is. You understand? Mm-hmm. So mikveh means nullification of self, and nullification of self with the concept of getting a new form, a form higher than self, a form which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. That's why Balei Tshuva says, in I think the Ozarua brings, the person who does an Averis, he was a Baal Tshuva. He didn't do a, not. He did lots of Averis, and he now is Chozer B'Tshuva. There's a minig that he goes into a mikveh because he's nullifying his past and reforming his future by accepting on his new form. You understand? So there's a minhag to go to the mikveh, because that's the concept. The mikveh is a concept of tshuva. A tshuva means to return to your source. That means nullification of your ritzonus, your wills, and the makabling, the receiving of the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what tshuva means. Tshuva means to return to your source, to return to the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Return Hashiveinu Avinu Letaratecha. That's the second, right? Prayer we say, to return us to your will, to your Torah, because your will. That's what tshuva is. You understand? And that also explains why you can't have anything that's chotzitz, that's preventing the waters from touching you. Like you have a mark on your body, right? Any mark on your body, right, prevents the water. The water's not touching you, it's touching that mark, unless it's tochel to you, unless it's nullified to you, right? But generally speaking, you have something on your body, like paint or something like that, that you want to wash off. That's, you know, like, you're not a painter, you want to wash it off, right? So that's going to be something which is impeding the water from touching your skin. That's going to be something which is chotzer, something which is separating. Mikveh means you can't have anything separating from you, because if anything separating from the waters, there's not a nullification of self in a certain way. Without nullification of self, it can't be a mikveh. It can't be nullification. You understand? Mikveh means a complete nullification of self. It can't be that I'm accepting the Torah, but not this mitzvah. That's not acceptance. That's not a kabbalas malchus. That's not a kabbalah. That's not a dalavaniya. That's not a dalad. The kuf, which turns into dalad. It's not a dalavaniya. There's no kabbalah of complete nullification of self. That's not mikveh. Right? Or if I put a little finger outside the mikveh, also that's not mikveh, because my little finger wasn't in the mikveh. That means that some part of me is not being toiled in the mikveh. Some part of me is not accepting that nullification of self. You with me?
Yes.
Okay, that's the concept of mikveh. A mikveh you only go to, the chiyuv of a mikveh is when you're receiving a new form. Therefore there's a mitzvah to go before Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov you're receiving the form of the Yom Tov, the spiritual form of the day. On Shabbos there's a mitzvah to go, because on Shabbos you're receiving the new form of that Shabbos day. Right? Anytime you're receiving a new form, then you go to the mikveh to nullify the previous form and to receive a new form. Right? That's the concept of mikveh. So at any time, it's going to be a period of time, there's a new form. That's what I said, a woman with her husband goes to the mikveh because she's receiving his form. So there is, to have a child, that's also receiving of a form. So the nullification of a previous form to receive a new form. Understand? So that's the concept of mikveh. Mikveh is a nullifying of your previous form in order to receive a higher level form. Yeah? Or a new form. That's the concept of mikveh. Yeah? A ger goes to the mikveh, why? Because a ger was a non-Jew, and now becomes a Jew. He's receiving a new form, so he goes to the mikveh. Any concept, nullification of his previous non-Jewish form, and a receiving a new form, which is his neshama tara, he gets to becoming a Jew. It's a new form. Before Yom Kippur, we go to the mikveh, because also it's a concept of tshuva, of receiving a new form. You're removing your averas, you want a new form of tshuva, a new form of closeness. Anytime there's a kabbalah of a new form, a receiving a new form, a nullification of the previous form, and receiving of a new form. Yeah? It's a concept, tahara, the Gemara says in Brachos, tahe yoma, means the morning. Morning is a time of clarity. Morning is a time there's light, there's seeing, there's clarity. Mikveh is a removal of, a discontinuing of a form of non-clarity to go into a form of clarity. For an impure form, tuma, which is atima, which is disconnection, right? So mikveh means to disconnect from your disconnection, to nullify your disconnection, in order to receive a form of clarity, of tahara, right? Now, going with this concept is a very important concept. That Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, right? The Gemara says that they received two ketorim, two crowns of Naaseh v'Nishma. Naaseh v'Nishma, what does it mean? Naaseh means I will do all that I'm hearing. V'Nishma, I'll then understand. Naaseh is the concept of mikveh. Naaseh means I'm going to receive a new form, even though I don't understand what completely is the form. I'm willing to receive it. That means I'm nullifying myself to receive the new form. Right? I'm nullifying myself, I'm going to accept the Torah, even though I don't know what it is. Even though I don't know all the intricacies of it. I'm going to be accepting of the Torah. You with me? That's Naaseh. Nishma, and that's why Naaseh is associated with the mother side, because that's the mikvah, right? Nishma is, I'm going to understand. I'm going to now bring that form to an understanding, to a rational understanding. That's Chochmah. So Naaseh and Nishma is the concept of Bina and Chochmah. Those are Ketarim, those are crowns. And that's connecting the two sides of our brain, the rational and the emotional, the intuitive side, which is the Bina. Those are the two crowns that a person has. Those are also the tefillin that the person wears. According to the Arizal, you know, it's brought down in Sfarim, we have two tefillin. We have Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi is against Naaseh, Rabbeinu Tam is against Nishma. Rashi represents the female tefillin, the Bina tefillin, the Ima, the female tefillin, and Rabbeinu Tam is the male tefillin, the Chochmah. Right? You understand? So that's why you wear it at the same time, because like a mother and a woman, mother and a father, they never separate, they're always together. Mother and father, Kishnei Reim Shalomit Parashima, two friends who never separate. Because when your Chochmah and your Bina are together, because if your Bina is by itself, your intuition or your imagination by itself, it can think thoughts or imagine things which are not completely true. That's why women who have more Bina aren't Eidim, can't be an Eid, because they'll see a person chasing after a person with a knife and about to kill him, but they won't see the person actually killing him. But they'll assume that the guy killed him, because they saw him chasing after him with a knife, right? But if you ask a male, did you see him kill him? He killed him. What's it? Yeah, he killed him, right? He's more rational, saying, no, I didn't see him actually stab the guy. Right? A woman's more emotional. She'll jump. She'll be intuitive. Say, yeah, that's what happened. That's not Aedis. Aedis is you can only give testimony of what you see, not what you think you saw. You understand?
Yes.
So that's the concept. The concept of Bina is a concept of intuition, of imagination. The imagination take you off, can make you think things which aren't necessarily true. But when your Chochmah is there, when your rational is there, to be in tune with your imaginative and your intuitive part, then it becomes a complete intuition, a proper intuition that can be used with the rational part of self. So when a person has both this aspect of Naaseh and Nishma, he's a complete human being. When he has the ability to have nullification of self, as well as the ability of receiving that knowledge and understanding that knowledge, then he becomes a complete human being. Then he has the Ketarim, then he has the crowns of Naaseh and Nishma. And then he becomes, right, a king, because he has those crowns. But he's also, when I say he's a king, he's not really a king. He's a prince of a higher king, because he's wearing the crowns of his father, the king. You understand what I'm saying? Make sense to you? So on Matan Torah, the Jewish people became the sons of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They became princes. They wore those crowns of Naaseh and Nishma. But that can only be done with a nullification of self, which is through the mikveh, and a nishma, an understanding of the Torah, receiving of the Torah, and the maisa, shvus, the way we receive the Torah is through our tefillah. On musaf, that's the receiving of the Torah. That's when we get the hashpa, the influence of the Torah, as we brought down. The most important part of shvus is the tefillah's musaf. Is the musaf we say on shvus, that's like the Kabbalah Satara before, in actuality, it's a musaf. Why is it done in tefillah? Because tefillah and Torah are very connected. The Gemara says, if a person isn't willing to receive Torah, also his tefillah is an abomination. Right? Doesn't it? Tefillah is an abomination. Because without wanting the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how can you speak to your Creator? How can you have a relationship if you don't want His will? If you don't want to be accepting of His will, how can you say, I want to daven to you, I want to be connected with you? Tefillah is about saying, I want to connect. Tefillah, the logic of tefillah is boy, Gemara and Baba Kama. I need you, I want to connect with you. Right? Torah is the connection itself. If you don't want the connection, how can you say, I want to connect? If you don't have the connection, how can you say I want to connect? How can you say you want more of a connection? If you have a connection, you say I want more of it. If you're not interested in the connection, right? Mesir atzmo mitara, how can you want to say you want to connect? Gam to shira tata even. It's not true. It's if you're asking something you don't really want. You with me? Yeah. Make sense? Okay, we stop here.
Beautiful.
That's why David HaMelech's yahrzeit is on Shavuos, the day he died and the day he was gave birth. Because David HaMelech represents Malchus in the world, kingship in the world. Today he was born, on Shavuos he was born, because that was the expression of Malchus came to be born into the world. When Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals his will, that means his Malchus, his kingship, his Ratzon is being revealed into the world through us. So that's the birth of David HaMelech. David HaMelech died on Shavuos. It means the Malchus died because it was a Chet HaEgel. This Malchus was not completely revealed. It's every year when Shavuos comes, we're trying more and more of receiving the Torah to reveal more of this Malchus. Because on Shavuos night itself, Shavuos day itself, when we receive the Torah, there was and not a complete Kabbalah of Torah. Parashel slept. They didn't show it could be rotten before the receiving of the Torah. So now every Shavuos night we stay up in order to re-show that rotten to the Mekabel of the Torah. And what does David HaMelech say? Ani tefillah, I'm tefillah. Malchus is tefillah. What does it mean David HaMelech ani tefillah? He wrote Tehillim, right? He wanted Tehillim to become part of the Torah. It didn't become part of the Torah. It's less than Torah. Learning saying Tehillim is less than learning Torah. But he wanted it. What's the concept of tefillah? The concept to it is, boy, I want his Ratzon. Without wanting the Ratzon of Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the concept of the mikveh, that you want his Ratzon by nullifying self, you can't receive his Ratzon. That's the nullification of self and a wanting of that Ratzon. That's why you dress up in order for us to be recovered in terror. You with me?
Yeah.
Clear?
Yes.
So that's why David HaMelech's yahrzeit's on this day. Now it makes sense. You understand?